While you're still doing your artwork and getting it up, I'll just chat for a little bit. Had a conversation with some friends of mine the other week before last, and it was happy hour, and I was hanging out with, they'd refer to themselves as tax collectors and sinners, so that's their phrase, not sure where they picked that up from. And it was a Thursday afternoon, and I was inviting them to, there were about six or seven of us around this table, I was inviting them to our Easter services, and it was fairly full little joint. There wasn't much social distancing at this particular venue that afternoon. And so it was sort of an open conversation. So one of my friends said, I'll be an apology, he said, and these people don't normally go to church. And he said, I'll be doing what Jesus would be doing on Easter Friday. And I thought, oh, okay. He'd be out looking out for somebody else, for somebody in need. He'd be healing the sick. He'd be straightening out the religious elite. He'd be talking about his Father's business and kingdom vision. I was getting excited about this friend of mine. And then he said, yeah, I've got a boat. I'll be fishing. So he just sort of let me down gently. And then others began to talk, because it was quite an open conversation. They knew who I was and what I did, so they knew I wouldn't be too worried. But one of them says to me, he said, so you believe in this whole passion thing? And I said, well, yeah, I get passionate. He said, no. He said, do you believe in the whole passion thing? I said, well, it depends what you mean. And he said to me, oh, the whole death, burial, and resurrection deal. I said, yeah, I do. Why wouldn't I? And then we just sort of went around the table, this conversation that was taking place in a most unusual setting that was really redemptive. And then one of them came up with the question, he says, if this is all about death and pain and suffering, how come Friday is called good? And I thought that was the deepest theological question I'd been asked for a while. And we sat there, and anyhow, we moved on to something else. Fishing and sheep in the freezer and that sort of thing. But Good Friday is the most somber day of our Christian year. And it really only has one theme, and that's about the death of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because the cross and vision, I just love what the crew have done for today. And I said to John, I said, look, I really want the cross visual because it is so much about today. But you know, in the world in which Christianity began, the place of worship was the last place that you'd see a cross like that. Rowan Williams, in his book, The Sign and the Sacrifice, The Meaning of the Cross and the Resurrection, he said, imagine coming into church and being faced with a large picture of an electric chair or perhaps a guillotine. Because that's how the cross was viewed in the first century. It was an implement of death. So as the church was birthed, it would be unusual to walk into a building and see something like that there. The cross was a sign of suffering and humiliation and disgrace. His suffering, his grief, a suffering God. Think about that. A God who suffers for us. When God took on our humanity through the incarnation, think Christmas. He entered the situation of our brokenness, yet without sin. When God embraced our sin and our suffering through crucifixion, think Easter. He witnessed the judgment of God and death. And here we have that wonderful phrase, the gravity of grace. The gravity of grace, seen in the emblem of death. Forgiveness at a cost. And if you've been meeting with us for a while, you know we've been journeying our way through the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah talks a lot about God's people being a covenant people where God had had an agreement with them and they were to live in a certain way and God would bless them in a certain way. And when they didn't do that, he would bring his judgment on them. And Jeremiah had been banging on about that for chapter after chapter after chapter, and they would basically go away. They wanted to kill him. They weren't responding to his message. And Jeremiah would come back to God and say, God, no one's listening. He said, yeah, I know, I told you that. Now I want you to go again and preach the same message. And he did, until you get up to Jeremiah chapter 31. Actually, it's chapter 30 through to 31, which is known as the Book of Consolation, which is four chapters. Where there's God through Jeremiah introduces the whole concept of a new covenant, something new. And as you read this, our minds jump straight into the New Testament, where Jesus, sitting in the upper room before he's arrested, spends his last night with a group of friends and describes to them this new covenant that Jeremiah talked about some 700 years ago. The new covenant would be a covenant through his blood, the shedding of his blood, death, so that we could have forgiveness. Paul picks up on the same theme in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So every time we have the breaking of bread or communion together, we're reminded of this new relationship that we have because something new that God introduced through death. The opportunity for humanity to experience that relationship with God and be at one with him. The writer of Hebrews picks this up. He says in Hebrews 10, 15 through 18, the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so, for he says, this is the covenant I will make with my people on that day. This is Jeremiah 31, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I'll write them in their minds. Then he says, I'll never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need anymore for sacrifices. The Book of Consolation, chapter 30 through 33, begins with the words, there was grace in the wilderness. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? But then it also talks about the gravity of grace when you come to chapter 31 and he talks about the covenant that God was making. And so the writer of Hebrews continues, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. I want you to think Jewish, all right? Because it's the only way you can understand that verse if you think Jewish. Because they're thinking temple. Remember, Jeremiah was saying all the time, we've got the temple, or the people were, we've got the temple, we're the covenant people. They were thinking temple. What was in the temple was a dividing wall so that you couldn't go into the holy place. It was only the priests that would go in there. You know, I was going to play a trick with you this morning. You see, we've got a dividing line here. If you look above you, it's that screen. And sometimes you walk in here on a Sunday morning to set up and the screen's down and we've got a wonderful key that we turn and the screen magically goes up. And I was going to set a dividing line so that we could have this idea of this space that was there. And it was when Jesus died on the cross that the dividing wall was broken down. Wouldn't that be wonderful imagery? So we'd all be sitting on one side and then the wall would go up and we could come into the holy place. I'm not sure Kelvin's ever thought of this as the Holy of Holies, but it'll be due for us today. You see, that's what Jesus has done, provided us forgiveness of sin, and now we can come into the very presence of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We know that John says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because of this symbol of death and King Jesus that would take your place and mine on that tree. So in this we see the centrality of the cross, because Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. For the Jew, they were gobsmacked. I'm not sure what the Hebrew is for that. But that was the idea of entering into this holy place. Jesus allowed that. And since we have a high priest who rules over God's house, which is Jesus, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. May the pure water of the forgiveness of King Jesus wash over us afresh today, this Easter Friday. As Riley leads us on Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, and we reflect a different lens on this cross, we see the centrality of the cross and the purpose of the cross, that God would bring us into his most holy place, his presence. Give thanks for that today. Reach out for that today. Seek that. The gravity of grace. The other part of this is that we've actually got to make this our own. Some people think that just because Jesus died for the whole world, that we don't have to do anything about that. Well, yes, you do. You've got to choose to follow Jesus. The writer of Hebrews actually talks about that, where he says there, let me pick that up, where he says, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, our bodies have been washed with pure water. And he talks there about what it is to choose to trust him. Go into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. See, God can't do that bit for you. That's your bit. Where you come into the presence of God, fully trusting him. And as we do that, we celebrate the cleansing that we experience through this blood of Jesus. Peter pretty much nailed that in 1 Peter 2 verse 24, where he says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds we are healed. Amen? We have new life through Jesus Christ. Trust him in that. As we wrap it up this morning, we've got one final song that we'll sing, which is this wonderful anthem, O Praise the Name. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands and feet, my Saviour, on that cursed tree. As you bring all of these thoughts together this morning, what is it that you not only bring to the cross? What is it that you take away today? Something more than Easter eggs and hot cross buns. Something that will fill the belly of your soul. What it is to be called into a right relationship with our Creator God together today. So we invite you to stand. At the close of this, there will be a clip, so be seated. The clip will set us up for Sunday. And we'll be back here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We're not packing up today, so for those who are really energetic and just start packing up chairs, we're not doing that today. It can stay the same. So we invite you to stand and we'll sing together. Thanks, team.